Partial power loss. During a presentation I made in Australia in 2012, one of the pilots in the audience made a comment from the front row. We talk about engine failures and engine out techniques, but we almost never address partial power loss in flight instruction. We do not evaluate the pilot's ability to recognize and properly react to a partial loss of power during practical tests for pilot certificates and ratings. Nothing is written in most pilots' operating handbooks about identifying or responding to a loss of part of the engine's power. And yet, partial power loss is at least as likely as total catastrophic failure. Yes, it's a common VFR error, unintentionally promulgated by aircraft manufacturers and the flight instruction industry, for pilots to have no experience in detecting and identifying partial power loss scenarios, and to have no plan of action for dealing with partial power loss. During that same visit down under, I was privileged to spend an afternoon in the headquarters of the Australian Transport Safety Bureau and left with a box full of ATSB-generated educational materials. One of the most interesting reports is Avoidable Accidents Number 3, Managing Partial Power Loss After Takeoff in Single-Engine Aircraft. The introduction to this report tells us ATSB's data shows that during takeoff and after takeoff, a partial power loss is 3 times more likely in today's light single-engine aircraft than a complete engine failure. The ATSB guide continues. There have been 9 fatal accidents from 2000 to 2010 as a result of a response to a partial power loss, compared with no fatal accidents where the engine failed completely. The interesting point is the disparity between partial power loss fatalities and those that didn't result from total engine failure on or shortly after takeoff. Total engine failures happen, according to the ATSB, it's just that they haven't resulted in deaths like partial power failures have done. Here's a portion of the ATSB's summary. Many partial power losses could have been prevented by thorough pre-flight checks. Some conditions reported as causing partial power loss after takeoff are fuel starvation, spark plug fouling, carburetor icing, and pre-ignition conditions. In many cases, these conditions may have been identifiable before takeoff. Considering actions to take following a partial power loss after takeoff during the process of planning and the pre-flight safety brief gives a pilot a much better chance of maintaining control of the aircraft. Considerations include planning for a rejected takeoff, landing immediately within the aerodrome, landing beyond the aerodrome, and conducting a turnback toward the aerodrome. If nothing else, maintain glide speed and plan a maximum bank angle you will not exceed if a turnback is an option. Be prepared to reassess the situation throughout any maneuver. The challenge then becomes, when do I know I've had a partial power loss? ATSB's research shows that a slight power loss after takeoff may not be enough to prevent a safe return to the aerodrome, the airport, for a fairly normal landing. Conversely, a nearly total engine failure gives the pilot little choice but to descend, and at least in Australia's recent history, the pilot usually continued straight ahead and survived. There is what the ATSB calls the region of heightened uncertainty, however, where engine power loss is substantial but not yet complete. This creates an uncertainty on the part of the pilot. Do I really have an engine problem? How bad is the power loss? Can't I just coax the airplane up to a safe altitude and then figure out what's happening? Should I make a fast turn back to the runway? The course of action chosen following such a partial power loss, says ATSB, can be strongly influenced by the fact that the engine is still providing some power, but this power may be unreliable. You may have a strong desire to return the aircraft to the runway to avoid aircraft damage associated with a forced landing. The complexity of decision-making in such circumstances is further compounded by the general lack of discussion and training on the topic of partial power loss, which takes us back to the pilot's comment in my 2012 Australian ground school. There are several ways to prevent a partial engine power loss, and a familiar-sounding technique for managing a partial engine power loss if it occurs, simplified somewhat here. 1. Lower the nose to maintain glide speed. 2. Troubleshoot the engine only if there is sufficient time. 3. Maintain glide speed and assess whether the aircraft is maintaining, gaining, or losing altitude to gauge current aircraft performance and determine options available for landing. 4. Fly the aircraft to make a landing given the aircraft's height and performance. 5. Make no turns at all below 200 feet above ground level. And 6. Land the aircraft wings level, under control, at the lowest safe speed. Surviving a partial power loss seems to depend on identifying that the engine has lost some power in the first place. Only then can you employ the technique for managing the loss. So how can we detect a partial power failure on takeoff? Try this exercise. With an instructor or trusted pilot as a safety observer, and to record information for post-flight review, make a series of normal and short field takeoffs. On each of these takeoffs, use care to fly the desired speed, VX for short field, VY for a normal takeoff, and if you routinely do so for engine cooling or a cushion of airspeed for control when no obstacles block your departure path, a V climbout speed of your choosing. For each takeoff, record the pitch attitude that results in the target speed. Record both the attitude indicator indication, if your airplane is so equipped, and your subjective description of the attitude as seen out the front of the airplane. The top of the cowling is on the horizon, etc. Record the approximate rate of climb for each attitude-airspeed combination. Now climb to 5,000 to 6,000 feet above sea level. Adjust the mixture in piston-powered airplanes so that it is at the maximum horsepower position at full throttle, which is approximately how fuel flow will be set for a real-world, high-density altitude takeoff. Repeat the departure exercise by simulating a takeoff run in the takeoff configuration, flaps and gear per your routine, establishing the target airspeed, and raising the nose to the VX, VY, and V climbout attitudes on successive simulated takeoffs. Record the proper attitudes, indicated and subjectively visual, for a high-density altitude departure, and record the approximate rate of climb for each attitude-airspeed combination. How is this information useful? If you are precise with hitting an attitude and airspeed target for the type of takeoff, short field, normal, and personalized, you will have a predictable rate of climb for near sea level and relatively high density altitude conditions. The only variables will be airplane weight and turbulence. If you hit your pitch target and the rate of climb is noticeably less than you expect from completing this exercise, then suspect you may have a partial power loss. Scan the instruments briefly to see if you have an immediate confirmation of a power loss. Partial power loss may be reflected in EGT, CHT, or fuel flow indications. But do not dismiss the possibility of partial power loss if your initial scan shows no obvious problem. At that point, follow the ATS-B technique of establishing best glide speed to see if the airplane is capable of climbing, can only climb slightly or hold altitude, or is losing altitude. This will tell you if you need to aim for getting the airplane back on the ground wings level, under control, at the lowest safe speed. It's a common VFR error to have no process through which to detect and confirm a partial power loss, and no procedure to follow if you detect a less than total loss of engine power. I've suggested an exercise to determine pitch and performance targets that confirm the engine is developing its maximum available power. By default, this means if you cannot attain these targets, at least some power loss has occurred. Practicing these pitch and performance targets and deriving a targets table by conducting the exercises I've suggested would make a very interesting and informative flight for your next flight review.